Well, anyway, that little pottery very soon became profitable. And within 2 years, we were employing 25 people. And I'm glad to say that it is still being run to this day with the same amount of people by Dhanlami's brother. I was actually thrown out by the colonel because I argued with him, and Nigerian colonels actually aren't used to that kind of treatment. And I think Dhanlami felt that he could see the writing on the wall, or what happened to me would happen to him. And so, you know, he also left, and then he set up his own pottery in Minna. And that was very, very interesting. That was successful, and because it was obvious that there was no expatriate anywhere near had anything to do with it. There was a VSO who helped to get him some money and worked with him for a little time, but actually he knew far more than the VSO did, you see, and the VSO soon left. But the Nigerian government soon realized, the federal government, mind you, realized that here was somebody, you know, who was making good, making a profit, and the head of state actually came from Minna, which is the same town. And so Dhanlami's pottery then formed the basis for a scheme called Better Life for Rural Women, you see. And so, you know, he was asked to make wheels and kilns and so on. And these are spread around. The whole federation is extraordinary. Practically none of them worked, mind you, because there's nobody trained. But at any rate, you know, there was something happening. And then a little bit later, you know, all these things work very, very slowly and in very sort of oblique and indirect ways. Very slowly later, when I set up another pottery or helped somebody else who had been working at Maraba Pottery with me, the one with the with that, we set up this place, and one of the boys who'd been trained by somebody who had learned at Abuja Pottery came and applied for a job because, he said, the man who was employing him wasn't paying him regularly, and so he'd prefer to work for us. So it was rather interesting that we should get somebody who was already trained as a thrower. And this was what he made. And this, I might say, was made, was the first pot, was came from the bottom of the firing, of the first firing of a kiln which was designed for firing bricks. And it came after we'd had five disastrous firings with gas. I mean, you know, those five firings were as bad as the appalling experience that Michael, you know, had when he returned to England, or even in Ghana, you know, with that awful shattering. And we had we had a quite extraordinary disease of the glaze. The glaze had come out perfectly on one side of the pot, and on the other, it had come out looking like one of Lucy Rees' crater glazes. And I thought, well, what on earth is the matter with this? Is there some terrible gas coming out of this extraordinary clay, or what is it? Anyway, I finally solved the problem, but it's too long to go into. But this was the first, from the first firing, from which we had recovered from that. And have a look at it if you like. But, I mean, I'm just they're very, very humble pots. I'm not really sort of showing them to you as exhibition pots at all. But, you know, just to show you the sort of thing that we're going on, that we were doing. And the brushwork, that was actually made by this boy, Hamza, his name, and decorated by me. And the brush that I used was one made by Dhanlami from the hair from the back of a ram which had been slaughtered for Salah. And his very long brush, about like that, came very fat at the top, you see, and rapidly came to a point. But it was beautiful brush because you could make a nice long line, and the paint kept on coming, because there was a nice big fat reservoir at the top. Or if you wanted to, you could sort of start it off light and then go like that, you see, so you're just sort of thickening. I found very stimulating to work with.